Look with me tonight in Joshua chapter 3. On the brink of entering the promised land, here they are standing on the banks of the Jordan River. On the other side of the Jordan, represented so much. On the side of the Jordan that they were currently on, it represented everything from Egypt, their journey in the wilderness. So I'm going to call that on the Egypt side of Jordan. And here they are on the Egypt side of Jordan. And they had spent 40 years wandering. God had issued them a promise that he was going to lead them into the land of promise, this promised land. So here they are on the bank of the river, we would say, Egypt behind them on the Egypt side. But God has so much out ahead of them. He has wonderful, wonderful possibilities set out in front of them. He has promises. He has blessings. He has opportunities. He has favor. He has a new location, a new journey, a new stage, a new beginning, a new home. All out in front of them. They'll just trust him enough and obey his word and cross the river and launch out and move forward and move ahead. But notice what he says in verse 5 in chapter 3. Are you with me tonight? Say amen if you are. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves. That's an interesting statement he makes. When you understand the word sanctify yourself, literally means, hey, get clean. I want you to get clean. He says, get clean, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. Joshua spake unto the priest, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. Thou shalt command the priest to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when you are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, hereby, or by this shall you know that the living God is among you, that he will without fail, I love that phrase, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Jebusites. And Dennis Griffin said, the termites even, right? God said, I want you. He's a pest control doctor, pest control man, by the way, for those of you that may not know. Okay. God said, I want you to know there are some things that I'm promising you and I'm going to do for you. But there's one thing I want you to do. He says, I want you to sanctify yourself. I want you to get clean. In other words, God was telling them on the brink of this new beginning, this new stage, this new home, this new journey, there are some things, children of Israel, that you need to shed. Some things you need to get rid of in order for this new location and new blessing to be all God designed it to be. God was telling them that there was some stuff that needed to be left behind on the Egypt side of the river. And I'll say this to you, my dear friend, that there are some things that need to be left in 2018. And, I every year is like a slate, like a clean slate. And you know the truth is, all of us in this room, if we were to look back at our slate 2018, you know what we would see? We'd see some personal sins. You know what else we'd see in the past? We'd see disappointment. I can't spell R right at the same time. Everybody in this room has faced disappointments. You know what else you'd see in the past? Challenges. You know some things you might have seen as you look back at 2018? Some strained relationships with people. maybe some heartache and some loss. You might even, as you think back to 2018, you might even think about struggles, whether it be financial struggles, personal struggles, relational struggles. And all of us, if you're breathing and you have intelligence and you're with me tonight, you understand that your 2018, just like mine, was filled with all of these things as well. But I want to tell you tonight, thank the Lord that 2019 is clean. Some of you in this room, you need a fresh start. By the way, all of us do. Some of us desperately need a new beginning. Some of us desperately need a clean slate. And listen, by the way, aren't you glad that there's no sin in the past that cannot be covered and cleansed and removed and wiped away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? But I want you to know tonight that out in front of you for 2019 is endless possibility for God's favor, God's blessings. But he says there are some things I want you to leave behind. There's a word that, especially if you're in this field, and I'm not, but if you're a nutritionist, you can take 1 second look at me and know that I'm not a nutritionist, right? But it's the word detox. And sometimes I'll get in the mood and I'll read articles about good health, right? Just like some of you. And they talk about over and over again, detoxing your body. Detoxification. Sometimes we use that term in relation to someone who is coming off a high of a drug or addiction of some kind. But we talked about detoxing, detoxification. It's the normal physical process of eliminating or neutralizing toxins in the human body. I want to say this to you tonight, friend. It's time for a detox. It's time for you and I, as God's people, as Christians, as individual servants of the Lord and children of God, to have a personal detox. It's past time to get rid of those harmful things in our souls, our minds, our bodies, and our spirits, our attitudes. Now, let me say this to you, friend, that the supreme goal of our transformation, be it radical or gradual, and by the way, don't get discouraged if the transformation that you see in your life is not automatic or it's not radical. Sometimes transformation isn't radical. Sometimes it's gradual. Sometimes it's a process of baby steps and small victories and small changes. By the way, that's how most of us change. That's how the Lord changes most of us. Salvation is radical, but sanctification is gradual. Improvement as a believer and strengthening of those weak areas of our life is gradual. But the goal in that transformation this year for 2019 is greater likeness to Jesus. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that whatever goal God gives you to set out before you, that goal, that it is not our pride or ego that is the motivation behind that. And can I just take a time out and say, be careful, even with things like weight loss. By the way, I'm not against that at all. I'm for that, and I applaud and commend anyone. But be careful that even in that, there's not a selfish, egotistical motivation involved in that. Does that make sense? Why? Because we want to make sure that in all of this, that Jesus Christ gets the glory and that we're conformed to the image of Jesus. It's Christ-likeness. So the question to ask in any transformation that takes place this year is, am I becoming more like Jesus? As a father, a mother, a husband, a wife, a worker, a church member, am I becoming more like Jesus? As a salesman, there are salespeople in this room. As a salesperson, are you becoming more and more like Jesus? As a worker, are you becoming more and more like Jesus? As a student, as a teenager, are you becoming more and more like Jesus? As a nurse, are you becoming more and more like Jesus? regardless of the vocation to which God has called us or placed us in, that's the question all of us need to be asking ourselves in this transformation. Lord, in my life, in my relationships, in my job, in my business, in my personal private world, am I becoming more and more like Jesus? Romans 8:29 talks about that whom he foreknew, he did predestinate, he chose beforehand that all of us as believers would be conformed, what, to the image of Christian Powell? No. Conformed to the image of Jesus. You see, gang, don't ever forget, in spiritual growth and transformation, some other person is not the goal. Jesus is the goal. Some other person is not the standard. Jesus is the standard. And our gauge to determine whether or not we're being transformed is none other than Jesus Christ himself. So let's talk about this detox. Stay with me now. First of all, let's talk about detox for your soul. How do you detox your soul? Well, I would submit to you that a way we detox our soul is pray. You see, we detox our soul through prayer. Psalm 91, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Stop right there. The secret place. It has profound implication. The secret place of the tabernacle. The secret place, the holy place, the holy of holies, the secret place in the temple is what is being referred to in that place of ultimate and intimate access and communion with God. And then Jesus puts the personal connection on it in Matthew when he talks about the private secret place in the closet of prayer. He puts skin on it. He interprets, in my opinion, and gives an explanation for you and I what Psalm 91 is all about. And he's talking about being intimate with the Lord and having that place of prayer. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. Notice when he's learning this in the secret place. My God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, from the noisome pestilence. The fowler was that one that would trap birds of any kind, and they would set traps for them, and they would catch these birds. And the believer says here that because I've been in the secret place with the Lord, my spirit is at peace. My spirit is at rest. In my soul, I know that God is my fortress. God is my refuge. He will cover me with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and thy buckler. And I'll say this to you, my dear friend. I do believe with all my heart that the cure for a disquieted soul is the secret place, meeting with God in prayer. He does something supernaturally through prayer that occurs no other way. I know in my life when I've been with the Lord in prayer. My wife can tell. My boys can tell. The people that work around me can tell, because there's something about it. There's something special that God does supernaturally inside of us when we detox our soul and get the junk out through prayer. Can I get a witness of that right now? We detox our soul in prayer. But let's go to the second thought. Let's detox our minds. You're like, now, preacher, how do you detox your mind? What does that mean? Well, God uses terminology like be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How do you detox your mind? Well, friend, get in the Word daily. Get in this book daily, and daily get this book in you. Listen to Psalm 119, verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man, he's speaking specifically of a young person who has his whole life ahead of them. And basically what David is saying is, how in the world can that person live a life that is going to be honored by the Lord and that is honorable to God? And he says, by taking heed according to your word. than in verse 11, that ever so famous verse, but it is so powerful and so true. Lord, your word, thy word, have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. In other words, the more I'm hiding and taking in the word, then the more, the less room sin has to operate in my life. Romans 12, 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let me ask you a question tonight. What is having more bearing upon your mind and your decisions? Is it the world and this culture, or is it the word? Well, in order to answer that question, you have to determine what is it that you're using to feed your mind with. If I'm feeding my mind with the world, the thinking and philosophy and the culture of this world that is unbiblical and anti-Christian, what's dominating your time? What's dominating your thought processes, you see? And it's going to be one of those two things. It's going to be the word, or it's going to be something else. Can I say this, friend? This really is no secret. Most of you in this room have heard this before, but I'm telling you, it's time for a detox. And let's let the word every day, every day, every day saturate our minds, cleanse our spirit, cleanse our mind. And let's get in the word daily and get the word in us daily. So we have detox for the soul, detox for the mind. And then I'm going to step out here and venture to go to a place where angels fear to tread. Especially heavy angels like me. All right. There's detox for your body. You're like, Christian pal, you going to talk about the body? Yeah. You're going to talk about the body? Yeah. You know why I'm going to talk about the body? Because the Word of God talks about the body. You remember what he says about our bodies? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19, he says the same thing in chapter 3. He says, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? More and more and more, and ever increasingly recently, I have become, y'all know I try not to hold anything back. I'm just going to tell you like it is, okay? Whether that makes you uncomfortable, I know transparency makes some people uncomfortable. I'm just going to be transparent with you. I don't know if you know this or not, but you do not have a perfect pastor, okay? If that hurts you or disappoints you, I'm sorry. You might need to go find a church that has a perfect pastor. Let me know when you find that one, because I'd like to go to that one too, all right? Man, I've been under conviction about this. How do you detox your body? Did you know that our body, seriously, that our body, our physiological makeup contributes to our thinking? You see, if I'm not healthy, it weighs on my mind. And it affects my mind. It affects our moods. It affects our spirit. And our spirit affects our decisions. And our decisions consequently do what? They affect our life. So these are just some things that the Lord is showing me, teaching me. These are just suggestions, okay? We still love each other. Everybody's still good, all right? How do you detox your body? Well, we can start off by fasting. Fast weekly. Now, you and the Lord determine to what level that is. It could be a meal. And I would say this for those of you who have never engaged in fasting. There is a medical component to that. So I wouldn't just rush into it. I would ask your physician. I don't know if I just believe that's sound advice. That before you withhold your body, withhold a meal from your body that you need, if you've never tried it, never done it, so that it doesn't throw off certain chemical things in your body so that there's not an imbalance, okay? And I would never tell somebody that struggles with some of this physiologically, I would never tell them to disregard a doctor's counsel about this at all. I'm just saying, let's be sensible about this, especially if this is new territory for you in your Christian life. But I would encourage us all to fast. It's a biblical concept. It was practiced by folks all through Scripture, practiced by the Lord Jesus, practiced by those who wanted to get close to God and whose lives were burdened and wanted to see God move in their life. I'll say this, that we can fast from things other than just food. You may want to start out or go on a juice fast or start out with some beverage fast or something like that. But I would encourage us, and I believe the Word of God is clear, fast weekly. Have a weekly fast of some kind. And then I would say, second of all, about our bodies, exercise regularly. Remember, the Word doesn't say that bodily exercise doesn't profit. It says that bodily exercise doesn't profit as much as spiritual exercise does. But it does say that it does profit. So exercise regularly. Make better food choices. Again, I'm learning this. I'm trying to apply this as we go. Make better food choices. You're like, preacher, does that mean instead of getting one piece of pie, get two? That's a better choice, right? No. You understand what I mean, right? Make better food choices. Drink more water. That'll help. Detox our bodies. And then this one right here. Practice a true Sabbath. Now, can I say this again? Don't throw something at me. Most of us that are involved on Sunday especially, listen, we say Sunday is the Sabbath, the day of rest. Can I tell you, in the local New Testament church, Sabbath, the Sunday is not the Sabbath. Okay? It's the Lord's Day. Sunday technically is not the day of rest. I hope that doesn't hurt you or blow your mind, especially if you're heavily involved in the local church. Y'all know this, okay? Some of y'all get here at 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. And for some of you, it's 1 o'clock before you get home. Then you turn right around at 4 or something and come back for whatever practice or meeting there is. And then sometimes your preacher gets long-winded and it's 7:15, 7:30 before you get out of here. Now I want to ask you a question. Is that rest? No, it's not. Okay? So what I'm saying is, God built in a Sabbath for your body every week. Your body, I'm talking about detoxing the body. Your body has to have time to recoup. And how many of you know, if you're not resting well and you're not sleeping well, then there's a lot of things that get fouled up in your body. Can I get a witness about that? I'll never forget, Preacher Patrick stood in this pulpit and he made this statement years ago. He said, sometimes the most spiritual thing a man can do is go take a nap. And dude, when he said that, I'm like, what did he say? I wrote it down. Shazam. Now, y'all know, hey, I'm for work and God is for work. Hard work. But God is the one that instituted the Sabbath. Listen, watch me. Not for himself. He instituted it for us. God didn't get tired when he created the world. You understand that, right? He created the Sabbath for man. Most of us don't operate by Sabbath. We don't slow down enough. We don't stop enough to take a true Sabbath. We talked about detoxing the soul. We talked about detoxing the mind. We talked about detoxing the body. Are you still with me? Say amen. Amen. Then let's close with this. Let's talk about detoxing your spirit. Say, preacher, how do you detox your spirit? That's your attitude. Well, I would say reject negativity. Philippians 4:8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous. If there be any praise, think on these things. Meditate on this. Let these things characterize your thinking. 2 Timothy 1:7, for God has not called us, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Not the spirit of intimidation, but the spirit of love, the spirit of power, the spirit of a sound, reasonable, strong, healthy mind. Romans 16:17 says this. Now listen carefully. Now I beseech you, brethren, Paul said, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Mark those people, he said, that cause divisions. That word divisions means disunion. Mark them, A.T. Robertson, the Greek scholar, said, keep an eye on that person so as to avoid them, he said. You know what God is teaching us here? And commentators, most of them agree that he is speaking of, when he says those that cause division, he's talking about negativity and those that sow disunion in the body of Christ. Remember what Proverbs 6:19 says, that one of the things the Lord hates is he that sows discord among brothers. Titus 3:10 says that a man that is a heretic, stop right there. You're like, ooh, I know who a heretic is. A heretic is somebody that causes or that propagates heresy or false doctrine. You are correct. Can I tell you, though, about that particular word, heretic? It means in the original, one who divides. He says that this person, after the first and second admonition, you reject that person. In other words, he said that after you've rebuked this person and rebuked him a second time for being sowing discord, he said after that, reject them. Here's what I believe, gang. I'm convinced that too many of us in this room expose our minds to negativity. And we dwell on negativity far too much. And I'm going to say this to you in love, as your pastor. Negativity will drain your spirit and mine. Do we not have the ever-living, wonderful, victorious Lord Jesus Christ that lives inside of us and reigns on high? Why in the world do we have to choose to dwell on things that are negative? I'm not saying that we don't speak the truth. We're crystal clear taught that in the Bible that we are. Paul Tripp said, listen to people very long and you'll hear the drone of complaint far more frequently than you'll hear the melody of thankfulness. The drone of complaint or the melody of thankfulness. Which one comes out of your mouth or mine? At his induction ceremony for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, legendary football coach Bill Parcells told a story about Wellington Mara. Wellington Mara was the owner of the New York Giants. He's the man, his daddy was the man who founded the Giants in 1925, but Bill Parcells was hired as the new Giants head coach. 10 minutes after he was named as the Giants head coach, Wellington Mara showed up in Bill Parcells' office, the head coach's office, and he said, Bill, let's go take a walk. Mara led Parcells down the stairs from the coach's offices to a locker room and into a small room to the left of the locker room, and he pointed out a little plaque with a quote from Giants Hall of Fame defensive back, Emlyn Tunnell. He was the first African-American to play for the Giants and also the first African-American to be inducted in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And here's what that little inscription said. Listen carefully. Losers assemble in little groups and complain about the coaches and players in other little groups, but winners assemble as a team. Can't you see that? Losers and complainers huddling up to complain about losing and complain about other people. But winners assemble as teams. And I'm going to ask you, Faith Church, tonight that for 2019, reject the notion of assembling and huddling up with little groups of complainers, losers, and negative people. You want to know what may be holding back God's hand of favor for this church? It just might be the negativity that at times seeps out and oozes out from all of us. Not just at church, but at home. About your spouse, about your kids, about your parents, about this school or whatever school your kids go to. About the teacher, about, well, this ain't right, and that ain't right, and this ain't right, and I'm upset and frustrated, ticked off at this, and nothing's ever gained. Can I tell you, we don't live in heaven yet. Not everything is going to be always totally right. I'm telling you, negativity is poison. An avid duck hunter was in the market for a new bird dog. He finally searched and found one, and he found a dog that could actually walk on water to retrieve a duck. Shocked by his find, he was sure none of his friends would even believe him, so he decided to break the news to a friend of his, a guy that was a pessimist by nature. He invited him to hunt with him and his new dog, and as they waited on the land, a flock of ducks flew over, and booyah, they fired, and a duck fell in the water. The dog immediately responded and jumped into the water. The dog, however, didn't sink, but instead walked across the water to retrieve the duck, never getting more than his paws wet. So as the day continued, every time ducks fell and every time the dog jumped in, walking on the water to retrieve the ducks, the pessimist watched carefully and quietly all day long. He saw everything that the dog did, but he didn't say a single word. So on the way home, the avid hunter looked at his pessimist friend and said, "So, you hadn't said anything about the dog. What do you think?" And the pessimist said, "Well, I see your dog can't swim." You know what? Can I tell you something? I'm like that sometimes. Hey, watch me. Are you like that sometimes? Somebody says, stay away from negative people. They have a problem for every solution. And I'm afraid, are you hearing me? I'm afraid sometimes, if we're not careful, we can get in that state. I'm not talking about sticking your head in the sand. I'm not talking about condoning sin. You know that. I'm talking about detoxing the mind and the attitude and the spirit and the soul and the body. And there's one thing that we must have if we're going to do that. We must have the help of the Holy Spirit of God. I want us right now to bow together in prayer, please.